Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Gregory Stories, the radio show about the life and times of Gregory Girard, the Las Vegas entertainment promoter. Your host is Gregory Girard, a.k.a. G-Money, the self-proclaimed pimp comic, and the teacher from the streets. Gregory invites you to visit him at blogtalkradio.com/GregoryGirard. You can listen to past episodes, subscribe to his show, and leave a comment. If you're an artist with original music or lyrics, just send your press kit to Gregory at bigmouthgbg@juno.com. On today's show, Gregory tells more stories from his life and takes calls from his listening audience. To listen in or join the conversation, go to blogtalkradio.com/GregoryGirard or call 323-870-4366. That's 323-870-4366. And now, here's your host, Gregory Girard.
What's up, Las Vegas? How's everybody doing today? How you doing all around the world? Are you having a good time? Are you having good days? Are you enjoying the weather? In Las Vegas, the weather is beautiful. Yes, it is. And the girls are still out, and they're parading on the strip, and I'm sure they're at the casinos parading in the pool area. It's the spot to be. I'm telling you, I've witnessed it for myself. I'm telling you, that's the place to be. Oh, yeah, it's a great time. And, you know, right now it's football season. And Las Vegas, in 2020, we're going to have the Los Angeles Raiders. Actually, they'll be the Las Vegas Raiders. They're the Oakland Raiders right now. They were in Los Angeles, but they moved back to Oakland. And now they're coming to Las Vegas. So Las Vegas is going to be Raider Nation. That's right. It's going to be Raiders all over the place. The black and gray should populate the city. It's going to be amazing. I'm hoping that they do better in 2020 than they're doing right now in 2018, because they're 0-3. They're starting off good in the game, but they can't finish. That's their problem. So they're 0-3. And the Los Angeles Rams are 3-0. And the San Francisco 49ers are 0-3. And the San Diego Chargers, which are no longer San Diego, they're the Carson Chargers, or actually the L.A. Chargers, as they're called. And they're 2-1. So all the California teams are doing good except the Raiders and except the 49ers. So we got to see what's happening. All right. I want to tell you a story. You know, I'm G-Money, the pimp comic, and I'm also G-Money, the Las Vegas entertainment promoter. I came to Vegas because I wanted to do big things on the strip. But I want to tell you how my life was like when I was in high school. You know, I met a girl when I was working at McDonald's, and I was a 12th grader in high school, and I wanted to go to my senior prom, but I didn't really have anybody that I was dating to take to the prom, so I asked one of my female friends, because I had a lot of female friends, they all wanted to be my sisters. I didn't want to be my girlfriend, so I had a lot of female friends, and I went to one of them, and she is fine. Oh, man, she's so beautiful. Her name is Sonia. Oh, she is gorgeous. and she's the middle sister of an older sister and a younger sister. Well, I asked her if she'd go to the prom with me, and she told me no. She wouldn't go to the prom with me, and I was upset. I was like, wow, you won't go to the prom with me? And she says, it's not that you're ugly. I just have another date that night. Because she didn't go to my school, so she was doing something else. And I said, okay. And she said, but my sister would go. And her older sister was a little old for me, but I thought she was a little on the ugly side. So I said, your younger sister? She had a sister that was 2 years younger than her. And I said, oh, okay, well, she's kind of cute. She had a little bit of acne, but, you know, she was cute. So I said, all right, I'll take her to my prom. And we went to the prom, and I dressed up real sharp for my prom. I wore a white and blue suit, tuxedo, and I was dressed real nice. But my girl, she didn't socialize too well. I got up to go get us drinks, and the guys at the punch bowl said, man, you better get back to your date. She looks like she ain't happy. And I turned around, and she was sitting at the table all by herself. And we had other girls at the table, and I thought she should have been socializing with the other girls. But she was just a little young, I guess, to know that she's supposed to be sociable at the prom. So that was my first experience with a real date. And I said, from now on, I'm getting me a girl that can socialize, a girl that can be about it. You know, she can be around people and have a good time. So the next year, I went to work at Sears, and I was working in the cafeteria. And I met a girl that was working at Sears, and I thought she was in a student work program. I thought she was older, and I was looking at her, and she was gorgeous. She had big boobs, and she had a big butt, and she was tall like me. Oh, man, I thought she was the shit. I was really happy. So I started talking to her. Every time she came into the cafeteria, I would give her free soda, and I'd cook some free French fries for her, and I'd give her a free hamburger. I was trying to butter her up so that she would be my girlfriend. And we ended up dating. I would go to her house. I found out where she lived. And we would date, and we had a good time. Except her mother wouldn't let her go out the house until she was with me. Then her mother said, yeah, you can go on a date with Gregory, but that's the only person you can leave the house with. So I'd go over to her house, and I'd sit up in her house, and I'd sit with her brothers and her sisters, and we would watch TV. And at night, when her brothers and sisters went to sleep, I would be hugging and kissing on her, and I would be all lovey-dovey, and I'm like, ooh, this is my girl. She's real sweet on me. And then one day her mother asked me if I was coming to her birthday party. And I said, yeah, I'm her boyfriend. I'll be at her birthday party for sure. And she said, okay, I can count on you to be there, Gregory. I said, yeah, I'll be there. And I'll bring her a present because she's my girlfriend. And I asked her mother, I said, how old is she going to be on her birthday? Because I'm thinking she's going to be about close to my age. I was like 19. And she said, oh, she's going to be 15. And I said, what? 15? I was like, man. But I still liked her, but man, she was 15 and I was 19. I was like, I think I'm too old for her. But we dated for about 3 years. I really liked her. And then I left to go to college. I transferred to go to a four-year school. And so I left her to finish high school and stuff. And I came back and went to the prom with her at her high school. And I had a good time. We were really close. So I liked her a lot. But I was just starting to learn about girls and how girls act. And so when I was at junior college, I ran for vice president of the school. And I got elected. People voted for me. And they seemed to like me a lot. I was really happy with the attendance and the voting record that I had. And I was really good. And I did a lot of things for the students. Like in the student union, I made sure that they had televisions upstairs in the lounge so that the girls could watch soap operas. Because all the girls came in at 12 o'clock when they got out of class, and they wanted to watch soap operas. So I made it possible for the lounge upstairs in the student union to have a TV put in there. And they had a big screen TV put in. So all the girls would come up and watch TV. And because all the girls were up there, that's where I was hanging out. I was hanging out with all the girls. And I was really popular because I was the vice president of the school. And I bought uniforms for the sports program, for the football team, for the basketball team, for the baseball team. And I even bought the uniforms for the cheerleaders. Oh, yeah, and I bought short dresses. They really liked those dresses I bought them. And everybody liked the cheerleaders when they got out and was shaking their rump. Oh, man, everybody was excited about looking at those girls. And they were really happy because I bought them some really nice uniforms. And they were short. And they had short shorts under their skirts. And so when they were shaking and twisting, the skirts would go up, and you'd see their short shorts that they had under it. It was like bike shorts on under their outfits. So they looked really good, and they got a lot of attention. And so everybody was really happy with me. And I had a lot of girls that liked me, and, you know, they wanted to hang out with me. And I met this Asian girl. Her name was Cynthia Igiyama. That's right. I said Igiyama. She was an Asian. I think she was Japanese, though. And she liked me. And we went upstairs to the student union, and we went into the theater. And we went on the stage, and we went behind the curtains. And I was hugging on her and kissing on her. Oh, it was good. And I laid down, and she laid on top of me, and she was kissing me and hugging me. And then she sat down next to me and rubbed her hands up and down my legs. And I was laying there going, oh, this feels really good, girl. What you doing? And she unzipped my pants, and I was like, uh-oh, what's going on here? And she unzipped my pants, and she put her hand in my zipper and pulled my dick out. And I said, what? What is she going to do? I haven't taken my clothes off, so what is she doing? And she went down and started sucking my dick. And I was just shocked because that was the first time I ever had a girl do that to me before. I didn't know anything about that. So I was shocked. Oh, man, I was really shocked and surprised. But anyway, hold that thought. It's time for a commercial break. Okay, Donald, play the commercial, play the spot, and then drop the play the song and then drop the spot.
What you
you are listening to Gregory Stories on Blog Talk Radio. To join the conversation live, call 323-870-4366. That's 323-870-4366. You can also join us live on blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard by going to the link for this episode, clicking on the chat button, and sending us a message. If you're a talented artist with original music, then let Gregory Gerard make you famous. Just send your press kit and a sample of your original work to Gregory at BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. That's BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. And if you're good enough, you might even get a record deal. And now, back to the show.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I can you raise this one? All the way out to the top?
Yeah. It just doesn't straighten up.
Oh, it just doesn't straighten up.
Yeah.
Oh, but you can roll. You can do everything. It just, it don't go all the way like that. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Yes, Las Vegas. I had found out what girls were like. And my little Asian girlfriend, I was so happy to see her every day. I was excited about going to school. And after I got out of school at 12 o'clock, I would meet her in the theater, and we'd go up on the stage, and we'd do what we do. And I was getting so excited about having her serve me the way she was doing it. And she was telling me all the different spots about my dick. It was telling me that the tip of my dick was called the crown, and the side of my dick was the shaft, and my balls was the tender roly party. I was like, wow, I was learning everything about my dick that I didn't even know. And so I was really happy to see her in school. And that's the only time I saw her was during the day. And I'd give her a ride home on my motorcycle. And I'd drop her off and I'd kiss her and she'd go in the house. And I would take off. And Brenda was still my girlfriend, so I would go down and visit Brenda in L.A., and then I'd leave Brenda's house, and my daddy had a friend that he was playing golf with, and he sent me around the corner to get some golf clubs for him, because he hadn't bought a set. He was just using somebody else's golf clubs. And I went around the corner to get the golf clubs for him, and I met the man's daughter. Her name was Loretta. And, oh, she was a few years older than me, but she was really nice. She was sexy. She was light-skinned. She was really cool. And she worked for Hughes Aircraft during the daytime. And then at night, she would be at home taking care of her mom and her dad, and she was raising her son. She had like a 9-year-old son, so she would always be at home looking at TV. So when I came by to get the golf clubs, we kind of hooked up a little bit. She liked me, and I liked her, and I'd sit up, and I'd go visit her like 12 o'clock at night, when everybody in her house was asleep and her son was asleep. I would go visit her, and we'd sit on the couch and we'd watch TV, and she would smoke some weed with me, and we would get high, and I would be all happy and giggly with her. And then I was sitting on the sofa, and I had laid back on the sofa, and I put my legs out on the sofa, and she started rubbing my legs, And I said, uh-oh, I think something's going to happen. And I didn't move. I just watched what she was doing, and she was rubbing my legs. And then she unzipped my pants and put her hand in my pants and pulled my dick out. And I was like, oh, I've been here before. And I laid there, and she started sucking my dick. And I said, oh, no, this is good. I got two girls that'll do this. And I was excited. And so every night when I went to get the golf clubs for my dad, I would stop in with the girl, and I'd lay up with her for a couple of hours. And she would serve me the way she served me. And I was excited. I was happy to go to her house every night when I had to pick up the golf clubs for my dad. That was a good thing. Oh, man. And then her mom and her dad moved, and she ended up moving. But before she moved, she told her son that I was the coach, and she wanted me to go to the game and watch her son play and see if I could give him some coaching tips. And I said, yeah, I can coach your son. So I went to the game. He was playing basketball. And I told him, I said, all right, I'm going to watch you play and see if I can give you some tips to help you be a better basketball player. And he said, okay. And he went out and he played basketball. And you know what? He wasn't even playing no defense. He wouldn't even run past half court. He would be on his side of the court where his basket was, and he'd be standing down there, and his team would be on the other end playing defense, trying to get the ball off of the rim, trying to get rebounds and pass the ball out to the other players of their team that was driving the ball back to their basket. And he would be standing there talking about, pass it to me. I'm open. Pass it to me. And they would pass him the ball, and instead of him dribbling up and making the layup, he would take a jumper from the top of the key, and he'd hit the basket, but the ball would bounce off, and he would even try to get the rebound. He would let the ball bounce out, and the other team would get the ball, and they would take the ball back to their end of the court. And he wasn't even trying to play defense. So he didn't even run after the guy with the ball. He just stayed down on his end of the basket, and all of his team ran down court. And they're playing defense. They're trying to block the shots. They're trying to steal the ball. They're trying to get the rebound. And when they shoot the ball and the ball went in the basket, they take the ball out, pass it to a guy on his team, and they would dribble the ball back to their side of the court, and he'd be like, pass it to me, I'm open. And they would throw him the ball, and he'd turn around and shoot it straight from the top of the key or from the three-point line. And he wouldn't even try to get his own rebound. He would just shoot the ball, and if he missed, everybody would run and try to get the rebound. And they would run back to the other side to try to shoot the ball in. And he didn't even play defense. He didn't even run past half court. And I was like, oh, no, I can't believe you're doing this. So at the end of the game, you know, I told him, I said, man, you don't play no defense. How can you play basketball and you don't play any defense? You got to play defense. You got to help your team play defense and score. You know, you really need to do that. And he was like, well, that's how I play. And I'm like, but that ain't a good way to play. Your coach should pull you out the game and let somebody else play, because you're not playing for the team. You're playing for yourself. And after that, he was mad at me. And he wouldn't talk to me anymore. All right, I think it's time for another commercial. So Donald plays a song, play one song, and then drop the commercial spot.
Listening to Gregory Stories on Blog Talk Radio. To join the conversation live, call 323-870-4366. That's 323-870-4366. You can also join us live on blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard by going to the link for this episode, clicking on the chat button, and sending us a message. If you're a talented artist with original music, then let Gregory Gerard make you famous. Just send your press kit and a sample of your original work to Gregory at BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. That's BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. And if you're good enough, you might even get a record deal. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, Las Vegas, I was living the life. I had Brenda as my girlfriend. I had Cynthia as my girlfriend. And I had Loretta as my girlfriend. And Cynthia I saw every day at school, and Brenda I saw every night after school, and Loretta I saw every night after midnight. So I was really good. I had three girls, and I was doing the most. I was real happy. And then I started DJing at the nightclub in Carson, and I was hanging out with these older people at the bar because I was going to the bar early to eat happy hour and grade my papers because I was a school teacher. And I met a lady at the bar, and she told me that she had the perfect girl for me. And I'm like, oh, no, everybody's trying to set me up. All the teachers at my school were trying to set me up with teachers, and I just didn't date teachers because teachers are cliquish. And you get in the middle of the wrong clique, and they'll be talking about you. And I didn't want teachers talking about me on campus while I'm working, so I didn't date any teachers. But this lady at the bar said she had the perfect girl for me. And I was like, okay, bring her on. And she brought her daughter in. And I saw her daughter, and oh, man, I was in love. I thought her daughter was beautiful. And so I dated her daughter for about 6 months. We dated, and we went skating, and we went bicycle riding, and she had a four-year-old son, so we brought his bicycle to my house, and we would be riding, and he would be riding in the street, and he was riding ahead of us, and she would be riding behind her son, and I would be riding behind her, and we had a good time riding together. And she was really nice, and I had sex with her as much as I possibly could because she really liked me, and we were really close. And then her father and her uncle decided to go on a cruise. They left for a week to go on a cruise, and her father couldn't go. Something happened. So her uncle invited her to go on the cruise. And so she left, and she was gone for a week, and she was on the cruise. And when she came back, I was so happy to see her. She was coming to visit me and everything. But when we were doing stuff, she acted like she knew some more stuff. I was like, you didn't do that when we were together before. What did you do? You went on the cruise, and you learned some new positions? You learned some new moves? What's happening here? Something's different about you. And she was like, well, I met a friend. And I'm like, oh, you got a friend now, huh? And her mother's like, oh, don't worry about her. She'll be okay. Just hang, just wait, and she'll come back to you. And I'm like, no, Mom. I think she got a new boyfriend. She don't want to be with me. She's doing all these crazy moves when we have sex. I'm like, I don't want to be with her. So she came to my house, and she got her bicycle, and she got her son's bicycle, and they rode off. And I watched her son get in the car, and he was waving at me, and he was crying, and I was crying, and I was brokenhearted that they were leaving me, and we broke up, and I was so disappointed. But me and her mom was still cool. It's just that her daughter went off with somebody else. But her mother said that she'd be back, and I'm like, girl, I ain't gonna wait on your daughter. I got girls now. I got many hoes, and I'm not tripping off of your daughter. I got some more girls. So I was taking pictures, and I was DJing at the Ramada Inn, and I met this other girl from Long Beach, and she came, and she was hanging out with me, And I was driving her home after the club, and I had a van then. And she would lay down in the back of the van, and we'd have sex. And I had sex with her every time I went out with her. We were having sex. And then one day she rubbed my leg and unzipped my pants, and I said, uh-oh, what's going to happen now? I knew where we were going, and she pulled my dick out of my pants and started sucking on it, and I said, oh, yes, that's all I needed. I don't need to have sex with nobody else. I got a girl that's going to suck my dick all the time. And that's what I counted on, just her having sex with me, oral sex with me all the time. And that just made me happy. So I had Brenda, I had Cynthia, I had Loretta, and then I had Val, but I had to get rid of Val. And then I had Marianne. And, oh, Marianne was good, except she had 5 kids, and she had been married. And when I started taking pictures, I went to this swap meet, and I had this guy airbrushing some paintings for me to take pictures with in front of, and people would stand in front of these airbrush drawings, and I would make my money as a photographer. And it turns out that she was married to the man that was my airbrush artist. But they had been divorced. But I knew all his kids and his wife. And I told him, I said, I know your wife. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm not married to her no more. You know, she's nice, but I'm doing something else. And I was like, okay, well, I'm doing your wife. So it's okay with me if it's okay with you. And he said, yeah, fine. And I was like, okay. And I would go to her house, and she would cook dinner for me. And I looked up on the wall, and she had roaches. She had roaches crawling up and down on the wall, and I mean long lines of roaches. And then she had some plants that were hanging from the ceiling, and I bumped the plants, and the roaches flew out of the plants. And I said, oh, my God, she got roaches all over her house. I'm like, oh, I can't eat here no more. I got to go. I got to go. But I still visited her, and I'd pick her up and take her to the clubs when I was deep, when I was taking pictures. And she always wanted to hang out with me when I was taking pictures. And that means she was messing up my action, because I had all these girls that wanted to take pictures, and they wanted to pose in front of my background and show their pretty legs and raise their dress up. And, you know, they wanted to show off their new shoes. And they always was flirting with me. But when she was sitting with me, I couldn't get no attention from none of the girls. I couldn't make any money. So I would send her back in the club. I said, girl, go in there and get me a couple of drinks. And go in there and dance a couple of songs. Leave me alone so I can make my money. Because when she was sitting out there next to me, the girls wouldn't come out and pose for me. So I was like, oh, this is not good. I got to get rid of this girl. I mean, she's good when we leave, but before we leave, I need to have her taking care of business on the inside. So she was my other girlfriend, but I had to put her on the side when I was working. And that was the way that went. All right. I think it's time for another commercial break. Okay. Donald, play a song and play the commercial spot. And I guess I'll finish my story. Thank you. And I spent the night at her house, and everything was good. I was really happy. And she worked for the airlines. She was a frequent flyer, miles secretary. She used to keep track of people's frequent flyer miles. So she left one morning and went to work and left me in her apartment. And when she left to go to work, I got on the phone and called a girlfriend of mine named Yolanda. And Yolanda came over, and we had sex at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then she left, and I called Loretta, and Loretta came over at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we had sex. And then I called a girl named Tammy, and Tammy came over at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we had sex. And then Teresa came home at 5 or 6 o'clock that evening, and I had sex again with her. I had sex 5 times that day. Oh, man, I was doing the most. It wasn't nothing that I couldn't do. I was the top dog, and I was doing it like I ruled things. I was the man of the hour. Yes, I was. I was the man of the hour. And ever since then, I've been on top of the world. I got girls all over the world. I got hoes in all area codes. Oh, yeah, I'm the pimp comic, baby. I'm doing the most. So I'm enjoying life. And I love to be around the girls. And all the girls seem to love me, and I'm having a good time dealing with all of these women. Yes, I am. I'm enjoying it to the maximum, and I can't quit. I love it, and now I'm like 60 years old, and I ain't married. I ain't slowing down. I ain't doing nothing that's going to stop the action because I'm the pimp comic and I'm on the strip and I'm meeting women every night after the show and I'm just taking everything one day at a time. I'm just slow motion, just grooving, just doing it like I do. And that's all I can say about all of that. I'm just having a good time, and I've learned how to be dark chocolate and beautiful because the girls used to tell me, you're too black. And I said, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. And they said, when you get too black, it's no use. And I was like, ooh, that's a low blow. But I've learned to deal with it now. I've learned to understand that I can just let it slide off my shoulder, let it slide off my back, and keep it pushing. Because if one girl rejects you, 4 more will like you. And that's what I know about women. I've been a specialist in the world of women and attracting girls. Yes, I am a specialist. I'm a female body inspector. Yes, I am. I'm the member of the FBI, female body inspector. Oh, yeah. And I'm keep on keeping on. And I'm going to do that till the day I die. And, you know, I already told you the story. How I lost my eyesight, I was blind, and things like that just don't happen all the time, but it happened. So I'm taking advantage of my blindness. I'm loving the nurses that are looking after me. Oh, yeah, I'm having a good time. So anyway, it's time for me to say goodnight. That my radio show is about to end. So I want to thank my brother for being the engineer and playing the music for your listening pleasure. And I want to remind you that tomorrow I'll be on the air again at 3 o'clock. And I'll be on the air Thursday and Friday at 3 o'clock. And on Friday, we're doing something special for the homeless. We're trying to help cure the homeless problem. And remember, we're getting ready to have an election in November, November 5th. So call and talk to all of the nominated senators and the people running for election. Let them know that we need to have an initiative on the ballot so that casinos can give food to the homeless agencies and the agencies can give the food to the homeless. That's what we need to do, and that needs to be priority one for the elected people. They need to make arrangements for us to spend our food stamp money and buy local low-income housing. That's what we need to do. All right. Well, I'm G Money, the Las Vegas entertainment promoter. And I'm a lover of ladies and a leader of men. I'm the Playboy extraordinaire. And that's what I'm claiming. And I'm out. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining Gregory Girard on Blog Talk Radio. Gregory Stories is live on the air every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 3 p.m. Las Vegas time. Gregory invites you to visit him at blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Girard, where you can listen to past episodes, subscribe to his show, leave a comment, and find him on social media. If you're a talented artist with original music, send your press kit and a sample of your original music to Gregory at BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, contact Gregory at BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. Gregory Stories is produced by Big Nasty Records, subsidiary of Big Nasty Promotions, LLC.